Good evening. Welcome to the Soleri Report. Today is Thursday, August 9th, 2018. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Hold that date, September 22nd. I'm going to be in Asheville. Lunch with Dr. Mark Skidmore at the wonderful Biltmore Estate. It's up at Soleri. Looks like we have two or three lunches left. So if you're interested in coming, make sure you sign up very, very soon. We'll try and run a waiting list if we fill up, but we should probably fill up this week. The rise of the Asian consumer. My apologies to you. I was supposed to have the written theme done. It's not done yet, but I keep working on it. The audio, however, is done. I really encourage you to listen to it. We also have a section for movies and bibliography. I'll keep you posted when the PDF and the flipbook are ready. You need to integrate what we're writing on the big trends, and this is really one of them. I've been very pleased with some of the feedback we're getting because the message seems to be getting through. Let me just read you one comment posted at Subscriber Input this week. Listening to this was a paradigm-shifting experience for me. It's as if the top of my head was peeled open and ideas and realities the size of aircraft carriers were compacted into my cranium. I went through a whole range of emotions as I sat here, from realization and epiphany to depression and terror. Then the man in me said, "Get up off your sniveling ass and deal with this shit head on. This isn't the time to be paralyzed by fear, laziness, or apathy. It's time to act." Anyway, there's a lot of good information that you need to know. You certainly need to know it to watch the news, but you really need to know it to be prepared to navigate the future if you're going to have a free and inspired life. So really take some time to listen to the rise of the Asian consumer. Perfect thing to listen to in the car when you're commuting. I'm going to be speaking in Italy October 19th to 21st. It's in a town between Rome and Florence. Information is up under events at the website. Our theme tonight is Rainbows Over Chartres. I drove in from the east of France this evening this afternoon with traveling companions, and we hit a real serious rainstorm when we went to see the Orleans Cathedral on the way. And as we were driving toward Chartres, it was raining cats and dogs. And I said, "Don't worry, as soon as we drive in and see the cathedral, the rain will stop." And sure enough, we drove into town. Just as we saw the Chartres Cathedral, the clouds broke, the sun came through, and lo and behold, this huge rainbow just burst across the sky, and almost the left-hand side came down and almost touched the cathedral. It was absolutely magnificently beautiful, and of course, the cathedral was just breathtaking. And then I went into the hotel and did a couple hours of work, and I came out to go to the organ concert at 8:30, and another rainbow was across the sky, unspeakably beautiful, again, almost touching the cathedral. It was just spectacular. And it reminds me of the importance of beauty and joy. I can't tell you, after spending several hours reading the news from around the world, I could definitely use the beauty and the joy of seeing that rainbow. I was telling somebody the other day the story of the Soleri Beauty Tool in the worst period during the litigation. We created a list of all the things we could do to give our life or to bring beauty and joy into our life. And when we were having a particularly evil day, when the Department of Justice would do something really despicable, we'd pull out the beauty tool and say, "Okay, what's on this list that we could do for ourselves today?" It's not a bad idea. You might want to make it up. We need to program that kind of infusion into our lives. Since I spoke with you last, I was in the Lake Constance the weekend, and then I drove across Switzerland and France and stopped at several places on the way. I've been posting little notes on my Twitter feed about where I've been and what I've been up to. Now I'm in Chartres. I just got back from a beautiful organ concert at the cathedral, and we'll be touring the cathedral tomorrow and then go into Paris for another organ concert at Notre Dame on Saturday. I'll be in Brittany and southern France next week, and then on the 17th I fly back, on the 23rd I fly back to the Netherlands for a week and then go to Scotland for a week, and I'll be back in the United States on September 9th. Anyway, lots happening that's going to drag your mind into a lower mind. Don't let that happen. Program beauty and joy into your life. I must say, I've gotten massive doses of both during this trip in Europe. Money and markets. U.S. dollar doing well. It's now up 5.56% for the year. If you look at fixed income, a little bit of improvement over the last week. The long Treasury TLT now down 4% for the year, 4.12%. The intermediate down 2.23%. The bond aggregate down 1.49%. And junk still holding at 0.82%, not quite 1% up, but doing better than the Treasuries and the bond aggregate. One of the things that's helped the market a little bit is that companies have been making their pension fund contributions. They got the old tax rate until it expires on September 15th for pension contributions, and the Financial Times reports they've been buying Treasuries. So we'll see what happens to the market when that money stops coming in. Equities. It's almost as though the president's Twitter wars have worked. The U.S. markets are now the strong markets for the year. The S&P up 7.73%, though home builders down 9.6%. It's far from all sectors doing well. The European VGK ETF is down 1% for the year. Germany down 5%. Developed markets minus North America down 1.2%. China, the tariffs are working with respect to the stock market. The large caps down 5%, small caps down 4.6%, and emerging markets down 5.73%. I'm still concerned about the possibility of a bear trap coming from the dollar. They've got to earn dollars. They have exploding U.S. dollar debt. And they've got to earn dollars, and tariffs makes it harder to do that. Commodities almost flat. The commodity index up 0.34% for the year. Gold down 7.21, silver down 9.19, and oil still holding at doing well for the year, up 16.36%. There's a paradigm shift, and that paradigm shift started with the Santa Rosa fires, but now with the continuing fires, and it's happening all around the world. It's not just in the United States, but California is definitely experiencing one of the most brutal parts of it. The Mendocino fire is now the largest fire, now the largest losses of any of the fires in California. In my opinion, the Santa Rosa operation, because I believe it was an operation, was very successful. And now what we're seeing is, after that experience has been digested, we're watching a double down on the strategy. I believe there's a lot of land being cleared above San Francisco, both to the east of 101, but also now it looks like up Interstate 5, very much over to Sacramento. And I really think this is the leadership doing what they need to do to clear land to bring operations back into Northern California from Asia. And with it, they're going to be bringing significant amount of successful and well-paid professionals as well as investors. So I think this is part commercial, part residential. And it's important to understand the leadership is not waiting for a constitutional convention. They're not explaining to people their rights of eminent domain. They're just doing it. And this is a pretty sophisticated operation, and if I'm right, pretty sophisticated weaponry. Now, if you look at the history of narcotics trafficking, nuclear testing, 9/11, on one hand, violence against and even murder, assassination, genocide is not new on the part of the government or the leadership. But I also think that this represents a very new phase, and I think it's unlikely to stop in California. There was a bit of a back and forth between me and a subscriber last week at Subscriber Input. You can read it there. About I was being criticized for calling it thermal gentrification as opposed to firebombing and genocide. And I wrote a detailed description of why I used the terms I used to describe it, whether it's Phoenix program or thermal gentrification and thermal warfare. I don't think it's genocide. I don't think the goal is to kill massive number of people. I assure you, if they wanted to kill massive number of Americans, they have much better ways of doing it. But I do think that this is a real wake-up call. And it's very important that you integrate this in your reality, because it's something we're all going to have to worry about happening, and it could literally happen in any part of the world. And I think it is, you know, I've seen signs it's happening in Canada, in Portugal, in Spain, in Greece. So it's not just California. I wanted to also comment that why I'm not emotional about this. I've been dealing with and watching the American government and the American leadership use significant violence and dirty tricks on the American people for my entire life. And if you look at the experience that I had in the 90s and the 2000s litigating with the federal government, if you read the Dylan Reed book, you would know that I've expended tremendous emotion and money and time fighting with a variety of gentrification and genocide plans on the part of the leadership and the government. And at this point, it's very rare for me. I've exhausted my emotion on the subject. And instead, my focus is on protecting the people who want to listen to me and trying to make sure that you have the actionable intelligence you need to protect yourself. And so I'm much more interested in providing actionable intelligence and helping people protect themselves and do so in a way that we can shift the whole game and hopefully stop this kind of behavior. I'm not here to help you process your emotion. It's not what I do. I'm much more interested in helping you understand the reality of what's happening and protecting yourself from it. So I'm looking to provide actionable intelligence, and I'm not into screaming and yelling and getting emotional about it. Although, as I described when I realized what was happening in Santa Rosa, it was one of the, I took it very, very badly, needless to say, but I've described all that to you already. Anyway, I think the Santa Rosa operation was viewed to be very successful, and now we're watching a double down. And expect this to be part of what the leadership's going to do to make sure the economy works. And this is all part of repatriating capital and operations to the U.S. Now, it's extremely important to me that if you step back and look at what this plan is all about. As I've said, I think the financial coup is being consolidated, and we're moving to the next step. I don't think we're draining the swamp at all. If anything, if you look at, we're building Fortress America. We are clearly moving to piratize significant amounts of government, which could be exceptionally dangerous. The push to tear up the Constitution is still on. They haven't given up on that. I watched a video recently that indicated that Sonoma County, one witness said Sonoma County is going to put up a camera system that will integrate into the Amazon cloud for early warning to protect against fires and disasters. What that means, since 17 intelligence agencies and DOD in the cloud, I'm afraid what that may mean is the county is basically paying to put up a surveillance system for the intelligence agencies in an American community, which is absolutely frightening if it's true. So we're building Fortress America. We're moving forward with significant piratization. We are re-engineering all sorts of operations, both for the repatriation of capital and the consolidation of the financial coup. And that's going to come with significant immigration of professionals and wealthy investors, including from Asia. And it's also going to come with significant automation. So we're talking about the people who engineered the financial coup taking the next step and going full bore into the next phase. I don't see any indication whatsoever that this has anything to do with draining the swamp. What draining the swamp has to do with is getting the general population on board for the massive changes that are proceeding. So, you know, I said last week, stop with the hope porn and the mind control. But it's exceptionally important that you kind of see this. And when I go over to talk to Dr. Farrell for the third quarter, wrap up for News Trends and Stories, you know, we've been talking about this for each News Trends and Stories for the last couple of quarters, but we're going to talk about it some more again, because I really want you to step back and see what is happening. If the U.S. military is standing down and allowing thousands and thousands of Americans to be burned out of their home, you know, that is a clear indication of what is happening and where this is going. The other thing I wanted to say was, it's exceptionally important to me, if you are in an area where there is an effort to use mind control and media to create anger, to create divide and conquer, you need to avoid it and you need to resign from the civil war. I'm going to be doing two interviews in August. We'll run them in August and September, one with Dr. Catherine Horton and the other with True Stream Media, all designed to help you understand the mind control and the manipulation. So just resign from the civil war. Don't fall into it. It's a trap. Sanctions on Iran. The U.S. has now imposed sanctions on Iran. We put some more sanctions on Russia as well, but I won't talk about those tonight. The EU is in a funny position because they have not dropped from the Iranian agreement. They have encouraged their companies to do business with Iran. Those companies are now sitting in the middle, and it's a very uncomfortable place to be. They have mechanisms whereby they can protect the companies, but the EU is actively encouraging their companies to not stop trading with Iran and saying that they will protect them against the sanctions. That happened on Cuba as well. Saker, in his discussion with me last week, talked about the fact that the Russians have an expression, the U.S. is not agreement capable. And unfortunately, I think the message of what we did with the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Iranian agreement signals to the world that we, in fact, are not agreement capable. Censorship. There is a huge move on to engage in censorship. Of course, the war on Assange continues, and that's the big one. Assange has done more, and WikiLeaks have done more to bring out really raw intelligence of the kind that can really shift the world. Now there's a major move to censor Alex Jones and another couple of commentators. It wouldn't surprise me if the goal behind that is, even though they haven't said a lot about it, is to make sure that that vehicle or those mechanisms are not in place for anybody who'd like to cover what's really happening with the California fires. Although if you look at some of the low-volume media that is covering like a plain truth, they seem to be left alone by YouTube. We saw a really impassioned discussion and plea from Richard Dolan on the subject, as well as one from Rappaport. It's very disturbing, and I think a lot of this is the media entrainment and subliminal programming, but you're seeing all different sides of the political ecosystem become more and more enamored with the idea that free speech is not important. It's very important. And so one way we've dealt with this, because a lot of the censorship is moving through Twitter, through Facebook, through Google, so social media, we've never depended on YouTube for our videos. We use Vimeo and now have BitChute as a backup. We don't use Facebook or Google. Now we get hacked a lot, as you know. It's very expensive. I have been using Twitter, but I'd like to replace it. There have been some great suggestions coming in. One of the possibilities is Kim.com says he's building something to replace Twitter. So I may wait to see what he does. But I would like by the end of the year to be off Twitter and onto something that's a little bit more dependable. What we need are real market replacements for all these folks. So I would encourage everyone to get off those vehicles and start using the, you know, the ones that are trustworthy. More cyber insecurity. Facebook is now talking with the banks about accessing all of your financial data. Can you imagine? You almost wonder whether the bankers engineered their stock drop. Big questions now about what Apple did to win the China card. And there's a bill now in Congress saying that U.S. tech companies must let the feds know when foreign companies poke around in their source code. So you're seeing Congress want disclosure on what tech companies are allowing these other countries to do. Farrell had a great piece this week on Union Pacific's reliance on steam engines that can't be hacked, and typewriters. I had sent him one of the posts we did last week on a municipality in Alaska town that had been hacked and is now going back to typewriters. I've been waiting for my typewriter. I ordered one a year ago from Europe, and I've been waiting for it to be delivered. Hopefully it's going to be there when I get back. But I and the Solaria team are thinking more and more about how do we go to a much more paperful system, because I think the cyber insecurity is very bad, and I think it's only going to get worse. There is a debate. The Trump administration came out with its plan on how to implement the Space Force by 2020. There's all sorts of debates and concern about that. And I think part of it is because Trump wants to use the Space Force to bring more of the black budget technology onto the overt side. The Pentagon's concerned because there are all sorts of bureaucratic issues and concern over what it will do to the Air Force. So I've gotten a lot of questions about it, and I don't know enough about what's going on at the Pentagon and behind the scenes to have an opinion yet. So I'm just learning and watching and waiting. NASA on Friday named 9 astronauts for the first manned space launches from U.S. soil since the space shuttle program ended in 2011. So clearly the focus on space is increasing. Our hero this week is Colonel Wellborn Barton Griffith Jr., someone I didn't know about until 2 days ago as I was driving toward Chart. During World War II, Colonel Griffith, a West Point graduate, 42 years old, discovered that the Allied forces were planning on bombing the Chart Cathedral in a manner which would destroy it. He was able to persuade the operation officer at headquarters to allow him and his driver to go behind enemy lines, search the cathedral, and then signal that there were no Germans there, so they would be able to stop the bombing of the monument. Colonel Griffith was successful, and as a result, the Allies did not destroy the Chart Cathedral in August. It was August 16th, 1944, when he was able to signal that the Germans weren't there. Later that day, he was killed in a neighboring town, going back to his responsibility in the army. And so one man alone prevented essentially the firebombing of the Chart Cathedral. And if you've ever seen it, I just think it's one of the great wonders of the world. It's so absolutely breathtakingly magnificent. And the energy in the field here are absolutely magnificent. And just, it just goes to show you that while some people are out firebombing innocent Americans, other people are saving the Chartres Cathedral. And it was very noticeable today as I was watching the rainbows to realize, you know, that some of the people in my network are sitting in Mendocino County struggling with fire coming out of the sky. And I'm sitting in Chartres experiencing rainbows coming out of the sky. And I have Colonel Griffith to thank for that. And it's a reminder that we need more people like him. Let's go to the movies. For the third time, I am recommending my favorite all-time TV series, Battlestar Galactica. When David Lichty, who was our intern once upon a time at Solari, tried to persuade me that I should watch Battlestar Galactica, I was appalled. I would never like it, I said. He got me hooked, and I watched the whole series and absolutely love it. The human race faces extinction from an attack by cybernetic Cylons that the human race has created. I mean, it's basically, you're talking about robotics and AI. And a Battlestar and a small fleet of surviving humans escape and set out to find the planet Earth while they are continuing having to fight off their Cylon attacker. All the issues of AI and building powerful and highly intelligent AI robots is explored in the Battlestar Galactica. You see, really, through the science fiction, you experience many of the different issues, and it's positively Shakespearean, fabulous writing, fabulous acting, and it really, if you're going to explore this issue, that's the way to do it. So I strongly recommend to you Battlestar Galactica. Our interview this evening is Harry Blaser interviewing a computer scientist, Hugo de Garis, who is the author of The Artelect War, Cosmos versus Terrans, a bitter controversy considering whether humanity should build massively intelligent godlike machines. De Garis has been one of the leaders in warning against the tremendous dangers of AI. Let me just read you the quote I have on the commentary for this evening's interview. Quote, the estimated bit processing rate of the human brain is approximately 10 to the 16th power bit flips per second. A handheld Artelect could flip at 10 to the 40th power hits per second. An asteroid-sized Artelect could flip at 10 to the 52nd bits a second. 10 to the 52nd power bits a second. Thus, the raw bit processing rate of the Artelect could be a trillion, 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 10 to the 36th times greater than the human brain. If the Artelect can be made intelligent using neuroscience principles, it could be made to be truly godlike, massively intelligent, and immortal, Dr. Hugo de Garis. Anyway, Harry was very keen to do this interview, and the first hour or so is Harry interviewing de Garis about the issues. Now, it's interesting. De Garis is very, very much in his expertise. Harry keeps trying to draw him out and integrate the issues of artificial intelligence and computer science into the bigger questions of the general governance system and some of the other much more integrated political risks. And finally, for the last 20 or 30 minutes, Harry really goes into a really impassioned plea about what he sees as the governance dangers of AI. And I was so impressed with it that I pulled it out into a separate section. And if you go to the subscriber links, you'll find the audio of the full interview, but then you'll find a video about 20, 25 minutes of just Harry's sort of impassioned plea, which I thought was enormously interesting. So you have the option of the full interview. You also have the option of just listening to Harry's impassioned plea, which I would recommend. If you listen to the interview, I would go back and listen to the Harry's impassioned plea. This is a fascinating topic, and it's extremely important. It also, if you listen to Harriet's rant, it dovetails tremendously with the Salieri report for next week. Ulrich Groniger's second Salieri report for the Future Science series. So on the wave genome, and it gets into the issues of what is life, what is consciousness, what is intelligence, that very much dovetail with some of the things Harriet's saying. If you don't know anything about artificial intelligence, there's some good introductory links that Harry's provided in the subscriber link. So you have the audios, you have the 20 plus minute section of Harry's sort of description in the video, and then you have subscriber links. I think it's extremely important that you educate yourself about artificial intelligence and the controversy around it. It's something that's going to have a profound, it's having a profound impact on your life right now, whether you know it or not. It's just going to keep doing that. So I can't recommend to you enough the taking some time to educate yourself. And I think this Salieri report will help you do that. Ask Catherine. Dear Catherine, thank you so much for all you do. I don't want to be harvested or mind controlled. I need your help on how to stop this. I've been working in oil and gas for 20 plus years, and I'm now in nuclear. I get laid off every year or two. I just can't stand it. I'm a cog in a wheel, a prisoner. I am awake now, and the old way of being doesn't work. I want to reinvent myself to train in a profession that will make a difference in what's to come for our world. Do you have any suggestions what professions will be or are needed? I need to know a lot more about your background. Obviously, renewable energy is growing tremendously, and robotics, material science, 3D printing, all the things we've talked about in 2.0 to 3.0. I do consultations occasionally on Salieri, but I would need to know a lot more about you and your resume and talk a lot more with you one-on-one to do that. So if you're interested in consultation, let us know. But I would take a look at, depending on your, it sounds like you may be an engineer, but I would take a serious look at what's going on around you in material sciences, in renewables, in robotics, and of course space is something, depending on the area where you are, where I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities. If space is a possibility, I would definitely take a look at the private equity company list in the first quarter wrap-up. We had in the web presentation tables listed of all the publicly traded stocks, but then a section on the private equity companies. And there's no doubt that the venture investment is exploding. Catherine, I'd like to start a monthly local Salieri circle in my area, Cottonwood, Arizona. Is there any way I could post this to invite like-minded subscribers? Thank you for real news we can use. This is from Diana Stoneberg, who is a realtor in Arizona. She posted this on subscriber input. So if you're in that area, again, she's in Cottonwood, Arizona. Definitely. She has her information up at subscriber input, so go check it out there. Hi, Catherine. More fires, new fires, growing fires, bigger fires, and they all have this in common. We've never seen anything like this before, quote unquote. Someone speculated that the aluminum oxide from the chemtrail is an accelerant for the fires. Phew, all the best. This is from California. Mark McCandish testified in front of the Mount Shasta commissioners for testimony that Dane Wigington organized. It's the Mount Shasta commissioners. You should be able to find it. I've posted it several times. I think it, and Mark is talking about the fact that the materials in the chemtrail are changing the fire patterns. And I've encouraged people dealing with fires to get that information to their local firefighters. I would recommend that to you. and sharing it with your local firefighters, because I definitely think the materials in the chemtrail is impacting any sort of fire dynamics. The reality is, if you look at what's happening in California, we need training on how to deal with 2,000 degree directed energy fire, whatever this is, that behaves very differently than a normal wildfire. So I think it's really important that if we can get the information networking from the firefighters dealing with this to firefighters all over the country, we'll all be better off. As I said, I expect this phenomena to move east. Now it's California, but I think it's coming to the heartland as operations move back in, unfortunately. There's a report I wanted to read that came in from San Francisco. Quote, efforts to institute new rent control measures have been very active in the San Francisco Bay Area recently. I think voters even got a ballot initiative for the statewide election for November 6th. Sounds like people are so squeezed financially, they're going to take it out on landlords, and the progressive left is happy to hop on the bus. No need to read below, but if you did, you'll see real estate attorneys are beginning to think this incentive may pass, and landlords may well be served to institute rent increases now while they can, so they can lock themselves in at a higher rate before they get their rents frozen. I don't think I can justify passing through a rent increase at this time, but I'm considering it. Thought you would want to know in case this helps you understand how the landscape is changing. I thought I would just mention that the North Vietnam housing minister, after the Vietnam War was over, said that rent control had done to annoy what American bombs could never do. It's just another nail in the coffin for San Francisco. Hi, Catherine. I hope all is well with you these days and that your time in Europe continues to be wonderful. We sure are enjoying the Solera reports as usual. Thank you very much. They're simply fantastic. Wanted to share this 15-minute video on grounding. It has some good information and is encouraging. Thank you for sending. I will watch that. Grounding is so important in this environment, as you know. Hi, Catherine. Your question of what the impact of the rise of the Asian consumer will be was a great source of thought. Living in a small rural Canadian town, I see an enormous influx of Asians moving here. All seem to be employed and law-abiding. Listening to your Solera report made me consider what this will have to do with the disappearance of Western culture and what will replace it. A trip to Vancouver or Toronto does not seem like the country I was born into, but peaceful nonetheless. As far as physical gold purchased by private individuals, especially by Indian consumers, seeing as how this is still important to Asians, would demand be strong enough to push a rise in gold prices? With the amount of gold being obtained by central banks around the world, the growing middle class are to invest in things that do not take up much physical room. I think the Chinese are about done with investing in real estate located in crumbling ghost cities. Do you have any thoughts on this? Thank you, Catherine, for all you do with the Solera report. I have no interest in mainstream media now, thanks to the insights you provide. All the best. I think the Asian demand will continue to be very strong for gold, but I wouldn't necessarily associate that with significant price rises. There's a great deal that the powers can be, the B can do to keep the price down. But I do think that the rise of the Asian middle class is going to have significant impact on what would otherwise happen to gold and silver. Okay, coming up next week, the Wave Genome with Ulrich Groniger. That's the next Solera report in the Future Science series. I've had a chance to watch it, and it is phenomenal. It is very informative. It's talk about paradigm shifting. I had to watch it twice. My mind was blown. I kept saying, how come I didn't know that? How come I didn't know that? How come I hadn't heard about this? You're going to get ready for a lot of really mind-blowing information. And I have to say that Harry Blaser and Hugo Degaris on AI and the next week, Wave Genome with Ulrich Groniger is a real You're going to be paradigm shifting for quite a while in August of 2018. The following week, an afternoon in Sofia with Thomas Meyer, my discussion with Thomas when we were both enjoying The Ring, and he was lecturing on Wagner's Ring in Sofia, Bulgaria earlier this summer. Then August 30th, and that week and the week following, we're going to do two related to mind control, The Minds of Men with Aaron and Melissa Dykes on their new documentary, which is absolutely sensational. You must see it. It's fantastic. And then we are all targeted individuals now with Dr. Catherine Horton. I had the opportunity to meet with her in Zurich, and we had a great discussion on targeted individuals, and now are ready to organize and present something to you, which I think is very, very important information and very important in terms of protecting yourself and your family in the coming changes, particularly if you're in North America. So that's it until next week, when I'll be talking to you from Brittany. And so please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, then you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.